Blog Talk Radio. everyone, to the Pam Burley Show, and it's the Detectors Radio Network. And today I'm your host, Deanne. I had some interesting experiences last couple of weeks, but my life has been really a tremendous amount of experiences, to say the least. I guess the thing that really bums me out is the fact that I work in the court system. And I had this dream, you know, you hear, you know, Dr. King's speech, you know, about a dream. And you think about living during the time when I was living during civil rights movement. I was a young kid then, but, you know, it was this thing, you know, people were running around trying to get things so it would be right for us here in the country, you know, enforcement of laws and things against tyranny. And, you know, you looked up with pride, you know, to the office of president. You looked up to pride to Congress and Senate. You looked up to pride to even the judicial system representing the highest level of law. I remember cases like the Emmett Till case my dad worked on. The young boy was sent from Illinois by his mother down south so that he could live, you know, because she was scared of him dying here, and he ended up dead there. I remember seeing his body bloated, drowned in pictures all over the living room, and when my dad was putting these columns together, because he was the one that set Medgar Evers down. It was he and others that were fighting to try to get this situation straightened out, where black people, then colored, they were called, would have some type of rights. I remember movie stars and individuals that were trying to get petitions together so they wouldn't have to go through the back door of hotels or places that they performed. The only thing they had was the judicial system to, you know, try to afford some type of remedy to these atrocities that they were being, mistreated in. I remember when Robert Kennedy himself, brought forth the Freedom Train and protected it and things. You know, this is 60s, 70s, and I worked in the courts in the 80s, and I thought, you know, a difference working in the court system. But now, what am I looking at? I was in a mortgage company as a director of operations. I worked for some of the top mortgage companies during the time of the so-called crisis that went on. I worked for banks. I worked in many other various industries and saw things from the top level of what was going on, fiduciaries, and things that were happening in the mortgage industry that was just totally outrageous. I have documented evidence and proof right now, and individuals I can pull up that have documents and information of the fraud that was going on, the conspiracy against consumers in regards to borrowing and getting into these loans on the credit default swaps that were used for them to trade and gamble your mortgages to make money. Then all of a sudden, the Congress and Senate came together and said, okay, well, we're going to start and launch an investigation of these frauds, and found out that, you know, a lot of money was being misappropriated. Then found out the banks didn't have any money. Remember that big crisis that the president came forth and he said that we had to bail out the banks? And it was because of something they did was illegal, was wrong. And the thing was, they bailed them out, but who bailed out the consumers? Not one person. All this money that came through the judicial system in these lawsuits that were filed against the countrywide, Bank of America, which is still pending. You have Bayview Bank. You could go for days, all these different companies that have been in court in regards to open abuse of loan and lending. And the consumer that was defrauded in these cases are still in court right now with pleading their cases to save their homes. And not one legislator, not one congressman, not one senator, not one person in any state or even the judicial system has stood up for the consumer that was defrauded in the first place. staged. Millions and billions of dollars went through that industry. And the thing was that these people that lost their homes shouldn't even have lost their homes. They shouldn't even have gotten a loan, because on paperwork that was passed around during that time, they were targeting certain people they knew would not be able to afford those loans. It was a conspiracy. You go in the court. I've asked numerous times in these things called fraud on the court. If somebody files a document in the court and they know that they're filing the document in court, they put a code at the bottom of the document stating that they are saying this of truth and fact. And they know when they came in there, if they're a third-party debt collector, they know damn well that those loans that they're bringing in there have already been written off by the IRS. So how can you take a debt that's already been written off by the bank in the beginning and then sold on paper in the secondary, third market, and then moved in the hands of debt collectors on the third level, and those people are going into the court and not having proper deed or information in regards to those cases? How the heck is the court allowing it to go through? There's signs up. I went in one courtroom, there was a big, huge sign on the floor, on the third floor in there, arbitration, mandatory. And I asked them repeatedly, I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going on. Oh, we can't say anything about that. That's against, that's practicing law. Well, how do you have a sign up that says arbitration mandated by the rule of the court system itself, and it's not abided by any judge or anybody in there knowing what the heck it is? You have documents in the court that says it was something was written up in 2008, and somebody tells you, oh, no, that's 2010. Oh, we don't know. Is that allowable to be, I don't know? And what is the word fraud in the court? If somebody comes in the court and swears under oath, I swore under oath today. I swore, raised my hand and swore under oath. And the judge wouldn't even allow me to talk. And then what he wanted me to say, he didn't like what I said, so he cut me off midstream, because the thing was that was a summary judgment entered in his court. And multiple levels of summary judgments, meaning you're guilty as charged and you owe the debt. But the thing is that on the summary judgment, if you come into court as a fraud and you have gone into court not following the paper trail. What's the paper trail here? The paper trail is this. You have a borrower, A, which might be the husband, and borrower B, which is the wife. You have two individuals on the document, and it's supposed to be properly noted, notarized, verified on the resume statement, exactly the same as the 1003, and all these other documents are supposed to be exactly the same in possession as it is filed in the deeds office. And when it becomes a deed, it becomes a warranty deed with both people's names on it. The parties involved are supposed to be both named on any litigation. Not one, but both. In these cases, you know what they do? They put one name on it, forget another name, misspell, do all kinds of stuff. And the thing is, they're committing a fraud on the court because it's not properly documented. And then sometimes the banks didn't even change the paperwork over to the next lending lender. They had situations that one, countrywide was known for this. Let me go back. It was Lions Inn first, and then it was AmeriQuest. That was another one. The Latino population sued them and won in court. That was when the courts were ruled and run by actual justices. I don't know what's going on now. Paul. I'm appalled. I worked for them at one point. The county I worked for, they didn't even do the stuff I'm looking at. They don't follow. They said they got uniform statutes in the state of Illinois. You go to the courts, they got one over here, got county over here, county over here. They're running different laws, different counties. You answer, oh, well, we run things different over here. How does it run different when it's the same legislative law on the compiled state code, and they're all supposed to be regulated in each court and followed? Why do they have signs up they don't follow? Why are the rules up there they don't follow? Why is it that they are totally blatantly against pro se litigants? litigants. They don't even hear them in the court. You go in there, and it's an avenue of this. You got a judge that's a former lawyer. You got a judge that's a former prosecuting attorney for the court. You got the other folks in there, all of them all tied in the same base. And the same thing, you go in there as a pro se litigant, you are in the row pile. You're not running the row club net members. So therefore, you come in there and try to plead your case, and they ignore you. They ignore your evidence. They don't read anything. I don't understand that. And then we talk about we want to vote. How do you vote for people that don't know what the heck is that they got going on in these courts? Like I said, I looked at this lady, and the reason why I was helping this lady out for the last year or so, she came to me in the library. And when she came up to me in the library, she was just totally just rocked, not knowing what to do. Her husband left her, went somewhere else. She had a court that was supposed to be there to protect her rights. She was supposed to get a situation of there was supposed to be a situation where she was supposed to get maintenance from her ex-husband, stuff from his pension. That never happened. No paperwork was followed through. The courts themselves violated her in this thing and proceeds in regards to the foreclosure. And the thing is that there is no agency on this planet that is doing anything to protect anybody's civil rights. And I don't explain to you what happened back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. I was there. I saw things. I saw what was going on during the time that Bobby Kennedy and John Kennedy tried to come together to try to put a conclusion to the civil rights issue. Even Lyndon Baines Johnson did things in regards to civil rights issues. Those people don't want to admit to it. But this thing is going on right now. It's the most dastardly, nastiest thing I have ever seen in my life. And I'm appalled that the highest courts in the land and the not only the judicial system, but the senators and the legislators of the states and various places in the country have allowed this abuse to continue to go on. It's not only in regards to mortgages. It has to do with people's human rights in regards to cases dealing with even felony cases. African Americans are first ones to be targeted. African Americans are first ones to be picked up and sought out by the police at the end of the month because they got to clean their ticket book. I was working in there. I saw what was going on with those tickets. I saw how they were doing these revenue stops. Still see them. And the bottom line is there's no one that protects anybody's rights. Yeah, you could have Batman out of here. And Batman, if he was out here, he would be appalled. And it would be too much for him to handle. Because there's no rights. None. Then on the back end, they sneak around and say, oh, we're going to change the law a little bit more here. This is a new game plan. We're going to open TPP. And he said, what's TPP? Sounds like toilet paper to me. Before they had NAFTA, now they got TPP. TPP opens the door for all these major corporations and all these world top entities that control everything you have down to your dollar. They're going to take over the courts. They're going to take over the policing. They already stole the pensions. So what do you have? Nothing. And what protection do you have? Nothing. There's no one protecting anybody's right. It's worse than back in the days of Robin Hood. I mean, the sheriff's out there, they got the courts out there. Nobody's representing the true facts of law. Nobody's doing anything to protect anybody's civil rights. And the so-called agencies out there are supposed to be handling things. You go through so many tutorials to get through to a live person and so much paperwork to be able to qualify for anything. Some of them, in fact, one guy told me today, he called a couple of places in regards to the issue he was going through. He told me some of them had to wait almost 2 years to be reviewed. So what do? You just get hung? Is that what the scope of the matter is? We have no justice in the United States. We have words of what's supposed to be justice, but we don't have it anymore. We have no protections. The civil rights movement is dead. It's gone. It's a doormat now. Because, again, you have nobody protecting the civil rights of people. Where's the NAACP? Where's all these civil rights movements that were around back in the day, standing up tall for people that are going through this stuff in regards to this fraud on the court, in regards to third-party debt collectors regurgitating debt that was written off by the IRS and then taking it into court, buying it for pennies on the dollars, bringing it back into court, and then bringing it before justice, knowing that the paperwork isn't completely correct because they didn't file the paperwork with the deeds department properly, but bring it in under oath of the fact that it's true and fact, and file summary judgments and steal people's rights away. They have no money for lawyers. The seniors are barely making it now, and most of those houses they're trying to clean up. And the reason they're getting rid of all these houses right now is because they're getting ready to get this whole new group of people in. People have money. People are making $250,000 and up. If you ain't making the big money, you ain't in the game. You ain't going to find housing. You're not going to be able to rent. This thing is getting so hideous out here, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, the reason I'm stating this is because it seems as though we don't realize what's going on because we're sitting there being a victim and allowing it to continue. If this election came around the next time for president, whatever, if all of us elected not to go out to vote, then if they win and you see a landslide victory of one person, then you know that voting counts. If you go out there and you don't vote and nobody shows up and then they come in with millions and millions of people voting, you know that it's a fraud. I work news election. I saw fraud when Reagan ran for president. I saw open fraud. I saw things that would make your stomach curdle. But from the time I was working, I worked to help to get Mayor Harold Washington elected. I saw the news media falsify information out there about Harold Washington in order to make a glory hole for the other candidate to get in. And I went down, it was Bernie Ecton was running. I went down to Operation Push, and I forced the media, me personally myself, to come out and say the truth about what was going on for fair and justice in the media. You know what? That doesn't even apply anymore. The only way you get some facts of the truth in media is through these means of going on the internet and various other things, and they're trying to take that right away from you. So this is becoming no less and no more than a communist, fascist country where the rights of people don't exist anymore. And by the way, you guys out there working for law enforcement, dig this. What are you going to do when they bring the foreign people in and have them take your jobs? What are you going to do when they take your pension away and you try to scurry around to try to afford stuff and you don't have no money to afford it? Because I know a lot of ex-cops right now, officers out there, that don't have money to even exist on. Some of them driving trucks, some of them doing whatever it is to try to survive because they don't even have the pensions anymore. So what is it that you're saving yourself and fighting for to protect who's what? Because they're not going to protect you in the end. So why is it that you don't protect the citizens as you're supposed to be mandated to? I am just totally appalled to what's going on. Now, let me be appalled. What does that mean? It just means personally I'm appalled. But it doesn't mean that you're going to do anything about it. It doesn't mean it's going to, the system is going to change, because the thing is, how is it going to change when nobody else is going to do anything to change anything? Everybody out here is under the thumb. We're all working, we're fighting to try to survive. The medical system is a farce and a joke. They got this thing so down pat, it's not even funny. They have everywhere this already calculated and divided and set up. Even Donald Trump is coming out telling you what's going on. He's telling you the facts about how they lobbyists go in and make all these side deals. I went to Washington and I saw that. I went in the office, the old lobbyists and people coming in of special interest groups. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Let's go back in the room. Here. Oh, yeah. He's waiting for you back there. Now, you go in there and ask him something. They ain't got time a day for you. They don't even know what the hell you're talking to them about because you're not talking the same language. What this means is that when they make friends with a special interest group that has some type of special thing that they're trying to do, then what they do is they write a signature bill for them. They have to erect a signature bill. They're able to get whatever contracts or whatever the heck they want. And then at the back door, where they have a congressional party, luncheon, whatever it is, to try to gain contributions for their campaign, lo and behold, these same people come right back in there and start plopping cash down like nobody else's business to back the guy to help them out to get scratch their back so they can move up and rank and take over contracts that you may have had the right to get. That's what Donald Trump is talking about. He's talked about it. He's seen it. I damn well have seen it too. And the thing is, does it stop? Hell no. Where's the money go? Where's the money in the court system go? Have you ever thought of how many, if you take an average, anywhere from $150, $350 a whack for every person going through the court, and add that money up to, like, per hour, somewhere between 30, 40, 50 people per courtroom hour, per courtroom, they got how much money that they're getting in that court. Now, they don't pay the clerks. They ain't paying the workers in there because they go on strike periodically. They haven't given hardly any increases in there. So who's getting all the damn money? And it doesn't go back to the state because they surely don't have no money because they ain't improving the roads. They ain't improving the conditions of certain things. They're still banking money from the Washington to come funnel down the same programs. So what if they're juicing you for money in the court, where the hell is all this money go? Think about it for a minute. I have seen things that you would not even believe. And it has not changed. It hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. I mean, if I'm talking about, I was around in the 60s and 70s and saw this situation, civil rights going on and stuff like that, and people were working. People had more money to spend than they do now. People used to work in the 60s, have money to go out, go on vacation, do whatever they want, and then pay rent and pay whatever else they wanted. They had money. Today, if you go out and pay one bill, you don't have any money. You got to work two more jobs to afford to pay your water, gas, and heating bill. Wasn't like that in the 60s, 70s, and 80s until who got into office to change this thing? Right after Lyndon Baines Johnson got out of office, the next guy that got it and changed the law back where the cost and price index went skyrocketing up, and then everything became out of balance and people couldn't afford anything. When they won in the 60s. And then the banking crisis in the 80s took loan institutions. And who the ones that popped by the states or senators, Keaton Five? Keaton went to jail, the rest of them. So put these people in. Why are these people still sitting in office? Why do we have a justice system that is unjust? Why is it that a pro se litigant can't go in the court and be heard? You go in there and they come and you. Yeah. Yeah, you have no rights to say anything because you should consult an attorney. That's easy to say if the person before you had some money to pay for an attorney. Nobody's got $500. Nobody's got $7,000. Nobody's got $10,000 because all the money from their accounts have been drained out. That's why they're in there pro se. And then if you get an attorney, you sit there and try to tell them something, they look at you like, oh. I was a paralegal. I saw things. Most of the attorneys ask the paralegals to research things, and paralegals know more than the attorneys. That's scary. And then the same with attorneys go jump on, okay, I'm making $250,000 a year now in my law firm, but let me go down and make $50,000 a year as a judge. Now, why would you do that? You're making $250,000 a year as a lawyer, and then you're going to take $50,000 as a judge to balance out. Does that sound like real numbers? And if you are getting that, are you making more or less? And if you're making more, how come? I still have a problem. I don't understand the state of Illinois. They have Illinois compiled statutes. They're supposed to be uniform statutes they're supposed to follow. There's laws in the book. I had one person, one of the clerks, talk about something about you're supposed to have a license plate registration. It's not in the law. It's not in the books. This is a judge that said that. Then there's been other ones in there. I've been seeing people make side deals. I've been seeing all kinds of stuff all out the box, outside the realm of what's supposed to be done in the court. And if you say anything, they might call somebody. Oh, she's starting some trouble. Let me call up some people and follow her. I had people following me down the street. I had state troopers follow me when the other governor was in, follow me down the street because I was putting out information they didn't like. Other reporters say they have killed. There's been reporters out there been murdered. Individuals out there that have been stalked out so much that they just may have taken their life. Other ones have been stalked out so bad they can't work, they can't get a job, can't do anything. I remember one key reporter out here was making $250,000 or upward a year. They decided to go out after him because he made a report they didn't like. He couldn't work. They would get him on DUIs every 2 seconds. If he was walking, he was a DUI. Before that, he was fine. So he made this one report. They went after him. Another woman was reporting something about what was going on with Enron, and they transferred her to France, get rid of her. Other reporters have been every type of situation you can imagine go on. And then they conference your family. They go after your family members, get them with stupid people, get the people to, you know, start doing stuff with their family member. They turn against you and all kinds of stuff. They waste so all this money they use for this stuff is unbelievable. I had one guy out here tell me when I was out in one of these towns and suburbs. He was telling me he came from London. And he came here, and he was coming out to compromise some corporation. There's a big corporation in Europe that comes in, and they figure out, okay, let's compromise this one person. So what they do is they get all this information about this person. They find out what he likes to do, if he likes women, if he, you know, got a smoking habit, drug habit. They give him all this stuff, film him, do everything they can, and then when they need to go after him, they go after him, big time. Destroy the reputation, the wives and everything. They get rid of him. Company, there's a corporation that does that. Now think about the IMF guy. He goes to New York, and all of a sudden he's going to be with the maid at the hotel, who seemingly is a picture of another person I know that was over there in Africa that was some kind of agent. And anyway, he's with the woman in the hotel, and then she sues him for sexual harassment, and then he loses his position. And then for a minute, they were able to put this other woman in so that they could move around and manipulate the currency more. And then the currency, what is it? What is the value of that now? What is it? I don't understand it. Does it have any value to it? Pretty soon, you're going to see what's going to happen and raise his ugly head. And the thing is that, you know, it's hitting Europe, it's hitting over here, and there's no way to run and hide. Isn't that in the Bible? No place to run or hide from the corruption. Isn't that in the Bible that says that you're supposed to go out there, you know, if God sends you out there to, you know, lift the people up and have them knowledge of what's going on before he puts his wrath out. Maybe that's what I'm doing right now. And maybe it's too late. Because the thing is, nobody's hearing anything that's going on. And again, if you call the senators and all these other, oh, we don't handle that. Oh, there's some legislative blanks. I called one up and said, I want to basically change the language of law. Well, you know, well, we can't, it's not going to fit in anything with the judicial system. I said, well, it's legislation, the right language to change the law. I know what I was calling for. But they kept on trying to push me over somewhere that would not do anything because I already went that way already. I already contacted those offices that they had listed. They're not doing anything, so hey, Maybe you should legislate a law out of the books that will force these people to do the right thing. They need to legislate a law out of the books that makes the fraud on the court investigatable. Not, it's this right here. Or somebody multiply incorporating. It says in the language of state of Illinois, New York, and everything, you can corporate with one name only. It's supposed to have the same name 48,000 times. New York, they got a whole bunch of people that own this one particular company that incorporate at least 25 times and use the same name, using Roman numerals, so that they could go out and commit fraud. And if they shut one company down, they still got 45 more names to jump down into. It's a fraud. Who's enforcing it? Nobody. Call up. You got to call over here. Call over here. I don't know who had it. Call this number. Hi. Press 1. Press 2. Nobody handles anything. You're paying for it. Every time you pick up the phone, you hear these tutorials, you're paying for it. If you call up a court system, nobody answers the phone, you're paying for it. If somebody answers the phone and doesn't know what the hell's going on, you're paying for it. If you go to avoid the court, you're paying for all these people that are sitting in the court, because guess where that money comes from? Your taxpaying money is paying for them. So do they represent you? Do they treat you with respect? Hell no. You're paying for it. You're paying for everything out here. Everything that you sweat and die for going back and forth to work, you're paying for. And they cannot give you any type of help, any type of assistance. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody reads. If you go ask somebody who the head of a corporation is, they look at you like, where's the corporate headquarters? Try to ask somebody where the corporate headquarters for one of these banks are. I am just appalled. And it was bad enough being in the mortgage industry, seeing these people with huge vats of whiteout, changing people's contracts in order to make this stuff work. Then the banks were doing something. They were trying to get as many loans in as they possibly could, bundle them up. They would send them, sell it at a secondary market. Once they got a secondary market, then they would trade it on the stock exchange and then move it over in European things. And this is the reason why this whole thing's all messed up right now. No control mechanisms, whatever. The federal government, every level of federal government that had an investigative unit that had dealing with banking, sued all these different people, and then who did they pay out of that? They didn't pay the consumers that were robbed. And why are the same consumers that were robbed out of fraud in the first place being forced back in the court out of the same judgment, and then with a third-party debt collector where these debts were already written off? Think about it. And that's what my outrage is for today. Now, tomorrow, on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have a gentleman on, and he's going to discuss what happened to him at the age of 17 and how the court worked on him and what happened. Now, there's grisly details and different things that you might not want to hear, but the thing is, this is a 17-year-old young boy that was pushed through the court system and had no idea what his rights were, and then ended up taking a plea bargain. And then after he took the plea bargain, his life was just in a turmoil and mess ever since. Another African-American. And he's one of the countless numbers. If you look at the prison system right now, you got, what is it, 80% of the prison system is African-American. Now, does that mean every black person's out here doing something? No. We just can't afford a lawyer. We can't afford to get somebody going, get an investigation going. We can't get any forensic evidence done. We can't. So what's the difference in this and then what happened back in the 50s and 60s when the Civil Rights Movement was going on? What's the difference? Is it better or worse? And then, like I said before, I worked in these corporations. I was appalled at the fact that nobody was getting paid the right salary, and then they allowed it. Well, even though they had equal pay right laws on the books, nobody enforced that either. So people's pensions today that happen to be African-American, their pensions all jacked up. Is that real? Somebody was making a grade, well, I was working one place, he was grade 37. He had the same position that I had. I was in the 37. He was making about two bills a year. They weren't paying me two bills. Most black people out there, they have masters and triple masters and doctorate degree. They were making under $20,000 a year if they were able to make that. And then I hear all these black people running around saying all these people were partners in a law firm. They didn't even allow black people to be partners in a law firm. And then you look at these courts around here, how many of them have black judges? The one I was in, they hadn't had one over there. And this is, what, 2015? It doesn't make a difference if a black judge comes in. Do they represent what's supposed to be with the law? Because all of them are frightened because once they get in, they be told that, hey, you better pay with the big boys or else. It is a mess. And this mess is going to continue because, again, we have nobody enforcing law, nobody protecting anybody's rights. Everything that was supposed to be out here for us is lost, gone, and stolen. And pretty soon it's going to be worse than that for every American, no matter what race, creed, and nationality. So if you go out here and vote, you better go there and research who you're putting in there in the Supreme Court, in the legislation branch of the government, Congress, and don't stop at that. Everybody's running for judge. Get a fine-tooth comb out and read who they are. Go to the Bar Association, get a listing of what they have done over the past years. Do a Google search on what they have done and how they rule. Go to the law bulletin, see what you can find on these people. Because the thing is, every time you put some of these people in the office, they stand there for eons and they do the most horrible injustice to the public. More so than the President of the United States. So I'm going to conclude my show. I have some a guest on tomorrow, and I'm going to probably have somebody from the Linda LaRouche office on next week because I know they're going to talk about the TPP because this is going to be a nightmare for America. And like I said, Donald Trump has been on TV. He's been saying a lot and telling you a lot of truth. What his game is, I have no idea. Do I trust him? Nah, I don't trust none of them because I've seen what I've seen, and I don't trust because, again, the game is money, and you ain't the money. If you ain't the money, then you ain't going to get game, and that's the truth. And this is Deanne, and good night, and thank you for listening.